already. Brother Mark Kennedy has joined us. Welcome aboard, Mark. How are you this evening?
Hi, brother. Where'd you get the fancy goods?
Oh, I got it out of my moth closet.
Oh, that's cool.
I guess I decided I was going to start putting on some jackets every once in a while because people are getting tired of always seeing me in my sweatshirts and my PJs. I thought, well, maybe I ought to let them know that I can clean up once in a while. Anyway, welcome aboard, Carl Roberts. I'm glad to see that you were able to join us tonight.
Yay, brother.
Hey, brothers. How you guys hear me? You hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you fine. We can hear you fine. Even though you're working on the muddy Mississippi line, I know you don't like me to say that. I know you're in Tennessee.
No, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. Well, I sure have missed you guys and everybody, listening.
Amen. We missed you, brother. So the feeling is mutual gracias. We've got a real good group that have joined us already on Facebook. Barry Henderson, Andrew Brown, Jim Kohler, of course, Mark Kennedy's on both sides, Robert Bernard, Jacob Potter, and I'm sure we'll have quite a number of others join us as we get closer to now we are recording, and I'm going to just kind of watch for, I don't know if you guys got the video this afternoon. I got an email from Brother Edward Henry. I sent it out to everyone. He watched a video this afternoon of a gentleman that was taking the other side, opposing John MacArthur and his affiliation at the conference with Rick Warren. And even though I didn't agree with the guy's theology, because he was coming from a very, not a hyper-charismatic view, but he was definitely affiliated with some charismatics, but he was very strong. He was very strong against MacArthur and his association on the world stage with Rick Warren. So,
yeah,
I think it'll be a very interesting broadcast tonight. And one of our sisters, Sister Louise, had some questions, and I don't know if you guys got those in your email box or not. But I thought they were really valid questions that she had for the gentleman that was supporting, John MacArthur. And so I told her I would bring those questions up tonight during the time of questioning, because I think she put a lot of thought into those questions. So anyway, do you guys have any thoughts about the upcoming broadcast?
I did watch that video by the guy who I got the lessons from, the tithing deception from last year. That was very good, about how he showed all the connections between John MacArthur and Albert Mohler and all the different apostate ministries. I thought that was a very good video.
Yeah, I thought he did a real good job of being very specific and sticking to the points. We're not wanting to come against anyone with the old favorite sayings that the people like to use when you take a stand against what they're teaching. We're not committing ad hominem attacks on people. That's not we're pointing out doctrinal errors. That's really what we're pointing out.
Exactly.
We have a number of people that have joined us on both sides, on TalkShoe and Facebook. And Brother Ed will probably be in here in about 9 minutes. But I wanted to get on and give our guests a chance to hear a little bit about what the topic is tonight, how it came up. A lot of people may or may not be aware of the fact that Rick Warren is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He's a globalist. He's very involved in Roman Catholicism. He's visited the Pope many times. He's made statements about Pope Francis being the greatest Pope ever. And he is really, really an ecumenist. He's really promoting the world religions, trying to bring all religions under one banner and so on. So there's a lot going on with Rick Warren. And Albert Mohler, like Brother Mark stated, has really reneged on a lot of things doctrinally. He is the past president of the Southern Baptist Convention. They just recently elected a new president. Who don't even get me started on that one. But the Southern Baptist Church is basically apostate. That's the only word I can say. They're just apostate. I mean, why would they keep the likes of Rick Warren in their fold? You know, why would they? Or Beth Moore is another one.
Andy Stanley over there in Georgia. He I watched that video with Mr. Flowers, and they pretty much straight up said, we changed the gospel to make it more palatable. Straight up.
Yes, yes. And even someone like Dr. James R. White, whom, you know, was somebody really material. And
you're breaking up, Brother Carl.
Yeah, unfortunately, Brother Carl, you're breaking up. And you warned us this might happen. You were hearing about every two words for out of the string of six words.
Oh, how about now?
Yeah, that's better. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. Dr. James White, for instance, the fact that he embraces people like Michael Brown who are charismatic, we have to really watch our P's and Q's, so to speak. And I'll even go so far as to say, for me, and this is, this is my opinion, anyone that holds to progressive sanctification, which is most Reformed Baptists, I do not embrace people like that in fellowship.
I tend to agree with you on that because, you know, that's really just another system of works.
It is.
And by the way, this fellow that was coming against, you know, even though he made a lot of points, good points coming against MacArthur, he was just, to me, as had egg on his face by... Now, I'm talking about the video that Ed sent this afternoon because he was trying to say that he's a Pentecostal. Well, you know, my experience, unless I haven't met some Pentecostals but my experience with all Pentecostals is they're most, all 100% Arminian. They're also into works. They're into free will doctrine. And so, now I do agree with some of his statements that he made about, you know, the aspect of Augustine. I never could understand why R.C. Sproul and all these people want to exalt Augustine, who was a Roman Catholic. I never could figure that out. You know, how can you embrace someone that never came out of Roman Catholicism? Yes, he taught predestination election, but he stayed in Roman Catholicism, and I just never could figure that out. I feel much more comfortable embracing the Waldenses and the Paulicians and the Lollards, those that never went in Rome into Rome in the first place. But those are the people that were the most persecuted, not only by the Reformers but also by the Catholics. They had double persecution on both sides. So
yeah.
Anyway, I.
I mean, I know that I can be a little, you know, probably overbearing at times, or I sound like I'm, and I really don't want to sound judgmental. It's, you know, it's just, but this is a very simple thing. When it comes down to it, we as believers, we have the inspired Word of God as our source for truth. And anything contrary to that, whether it is free will, works idolatry from progressive sanctification, or the embracing of heliocentric demonic lies, we must reject it in the name of Jesus Christ as believers.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Right. I do believe that Jesus commands us to call out error without.
That's right.
Even if it's like you said, Brother Larry, even if it's your own mother. We're supposed to. I believe Jesus commands it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's very easy. One of the other things this fellow pointed out, which I do have a certain amount of understanding of what he's trying to convey, he says that a lot of the people that are coming from a Reformed perspective are spending all their time in trying to promote Calvinism, the 5 points, the 5 biblical points, and they never do anything as far as missions or evangelizing and all that. That's the age old pointing your finger type of a thing. But
that
certainly isn't my perspective. I mean, we broadcast 12 times a week and are trying to reach out all around the world, but we're doing it with biblical doctrine. We're not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak.
Right. And we have more of an assurance. We have more of an assurance in the Word of God than what an Armenian wheel worshiper does. Because we're told all that were given to the Son by the Father, will believe. And we have that assurance. So we're able to go forth and witness and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and reveal his word, because we know that all that was given to Jesus Christ will come.
Right, right. The other thing I get, and you guys may or may not be aware of it, but on a daily basis, I get probably 15 requests from different parts of the world wanting to participate in our ministry. They say, we want to associate with your ministry. Well, what I have, you know, what I do usually is I go to those people's website, and as soon as I go to the website, I find out they're promoting Free Will Arminian Doctrine. And so I'll just email them back and say, you know, we don't agree with your doctrine. Okay?
Right.
I probably also get about 10, probably between 5 and 10 requests a day for people wanting me to give to their ministries. And, you know, early in the game, I was pretty naive. You know, you want to help the orphans. You want to help the downtrodden. And I was even given, there was a couple different places I was giving gifting to and so on. And I didn't do my due diligence like I should have. And then I found out that one of the ministries was not, you know, even though he said he was, agreed with all, they'll tell you anything to get your money. Okay.
Okay,
I'm going to go now get Brother Ed. He's just joined us. Hold on a second.
We do have to exercise some discernment here in these kind of situations.
Amen.
Brother Ed, are you with us?
I am. Thank you.
Yeah, well, we're glad to have you with us, and we've been just kind of prepping everyone for what the topic is tonight. We've got quite a group that's joined us on Facebook that are very interested in what we're going to be talking about. And, you know, I did watch the video you sent a little bit ago, and I thought it was a good treatment on what we're going to be talking about, a good initiation. There's so many issues involved here. This is an excellent subject. It's something that I have struggled with. I was just sharing with Carl and Mark. Probably on a daily basis, I get maybe 5 or 6 different pastors, you know, contacting me saying they want to affiliate with our ministry. And then when I go to their website, I find out I don't want to have any affiliation with them, you know, because of what their doctrinal positions are. And I also shared that, you know, when I first started, but I was somewhat naive at times and gave money to ministries that said they were in agreement with me, and then I found out later they were just telling me what I wanted to hear to get my money. So, But anyway, I'm gonna turn it over to you and kind of let you introduce the subject. We did get, and I don't know if you got it or not, but Sister Louise had some questions that she polled, she wanted to ask, and I thought they were good questions. And maybe so during the time of questions, I'm going to go over those. I told her I would go over the questions and have you address those questions as well. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to, and maybe you could kind of just introduce the subject and how we were even. How it all came up. So I'll just turn it over.
There's a gentleman that has a YouTube channel. It's called Service Christie. His name is Joshua, and he does a really excellent job of revealing some of the heresy amongst the what we would call conservative evangelical groups. And then the fellowship that they've been having, and it's sort of what has happened is there's this ecumenism where there is fellowship between conservative, and I'm using the labels as people understand them, you know, conservative Christian fundamentalist churches, and then the liberal faction of churches involving charismatics and so forth, and that, but it's even gone to the they're having fellowship with the Roman Catholic Church, Roman Catholic priests, the Pope, meeting with the Pope and so forth, and the liberal branch of the church, I guess, would be represented by this guy named Rick Warren, who I really don't know anything about, quite frankly. So if you guys want to edify me, fine, because I don't know anything about the man. And then the conservative branch, I guess, would be represented by people like Todd Friel and John MacArthur. And apparently there is a fellowship that is going on between John MacArthur and Rick Warren and others, by the way. I mean, there is a whole group of people. And by the way, I will have to confess ignorance on who these people are, what they believe, because I don't travel in their circles or listen to them. So I'm sort of out of touch with the personalities. I do know about John MacArthur, and because early on, when I was first, after I was first saved by the grace of God, I happened on John MacArthur, and I thought he was quite good until I started having issues with his dispensational view. And I couldn't find it supported by the Bible. And I actually wrote him one time, and he wrote me back, interestingly enough. And this is in the old days, before email. So it was actually a real letter that I wrote freehand, okay? And but he disagreed with my positions and basically, you know, tried to tell me his position from his point of view. But he was courteous enough to write me back. But in any event, over the years, though, I have had issues with John MacArthur, starting with his use of the New American Standard Version Bible, okay, almost exclusively. But now he has branched off into the New International Version of the Bible, which, by the way, he was very much a critic of. He was very critical of the NIV, and so then he's now compromised, and he's allowed his John MacArthur commentary of the Bible to be published not only in the NASB, but also now in the NIV, the New International Version, which is, they're both perversions. One is allegedly the more conservative one, the NASB, and the NIV is just out there, just out there. They even have a new one called the, I can't remember what, it starts with, it's something, it's a letter in the NIV, and what they've done is they have made it gender neutral. So God is no longer referred to by the pronoun of he or him, and so forth. So it's a general neutral, they have a gender neutral version of the NIV. And interestingly enough, the ESV, the English Standard Version, which, was, put forth and promoted by, Dobson, what was his first name? James Dobson, the Focus on the Family group. And he came out with the ESV as a way of addressing the new liberal NIV. Well, it turns out that the ESV is also gender inclusive. So they took out, not with regard to God, perhaps. I haven't studied it that much, but apparently it's been gender inclusive. So they've taken out the male pronouns when referring to other people. So the hims and hers are gone. It's now people and persons and so forth. But anyway, getting back to the issue at hand, this Joshua has raised an issue with regard to John MacArthur and Rick mm-hmm. Warren, who have joined together in some sort of teaching ministry and conference, and they're going yeah. to, which they're going to be with others, okay, with others at this conference. And Todd Friel has now come out in defense of John MacArthur. And that Todd Friel has now alleged that Rick Warren is fully Christian and doctrinally Christian. Well, now, if you look into Rick Warren, the few things I know about Rick Warren is, first of all, he is seeking ecumenical fellowship with the Roman Catholic Church. I believe that he has gone back on his original position with regard to sodomy, and now he's in the pro-sodomite camp, okay? And so wow. he is now fellowshipping with people like Elton John, okay? So he's very much on the liberal wing. I call it the satanic wing of the yeah. Christian church. But again, you know, there's so much Satanism going on in the Christian church. As I said, they're more, I mean, you might as well call them covens anymore. But Rick Warren is, I guess, along those lines where he just kind of winks and at the sin, thinks it's okay, and then thinks that the Antichrist Church, the Roman Catholic Church, is just fine and we should fellowship with them. And there's a whole list of people that are along with him on that. And though John mm-hmm. MacArthur is supposed to be very critical of the ecumenical movement, that's always been his position. And I think maybe that's what his purpose is. His purpose is probably to kind of break down the resistance to ecumenism, and people will figure, well, if John MacArthur's okay with it, then I guess it's okay. It's the same thing they've done with politicians. I mean, Ronald Reagan, he was able to put through all kinds of liberal legislation that would never have gone past if there was a liberal president, okay? In fact, he was the last president to have given what is it with the pardon me?
Ambassador to Rome.
Oh yeah, he reinstituted the ambassadorship that we now have. Ever since the assassination of Abraham Lincoln, we have not had an exchange of ambassadors. They call them nuncios with the church. I don't know why they're called nuncios, but they do. We have not had an exchange of ambassadors because it was discovered after the assassination of Abraham Lincoln that, in fact, the Roman Catholic Church was very much involved in it and behind it. And so as a protest, Congress would not fund any ambassador to the Vatican. In fact, right after the assassination, when that was discovered, the ambassador was recalled. We never had an ambassador to the Vatican until Ronald Reagan's presidency. And he also gave illegal aliens the word is leaving my he basically gave them a citizenship. Was it citizenship? were several million that were illegal aliens. And
hey,
I don't know.
Let me jump in a second, just so I want to kind of fill in the gaps a little bit with Rick Warren, because Rick Warren, I mean, I have written research, done a lot of research on Rick Warren. In fact, if you want to go to sermonaudio.com/housechurch and put in the search engine Rick Warren, you'll hear a message where I did quite an extensive research, not only on his book, Purpose Driven Life, which anyone that reads Purpose Driven Life, you can actually even read the chapter titles of Purpose Driven Life. That will give you a pretty good idea of the philosophy of Rick Warren. Rick Warren also has now developed a worldwide, what he calls a focus program called Purpose Driven Nations, okay? And now what he's done is he's gone into third world countries and introduced his purpose-driven life for their nation, for their governments, okay? Mm. He also has aligned himself directly with the Roman Catholic Church, and he's also a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. And so this yep. man is a globalist. He is also very involved in fellowship with the Episcopal Church, with the Greek Orthodox Church, with the United Methodist Church. So he is a full-blown ecumenist. And so I wanted to just kind of put that in. The other thing I wanted to say is that Albert Mohler, another one of the individuals that was listed, was the former, right before they just, Southern Baptist Convention just put in a new president. But Albert Mohler, is another one that is in that group. And he has compromised on so many things over the years. He started out being strong, but, you know, peer pressure got to him, and now he's thrown the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak. Some of the other people that are listed on there are also full-blown in fellowship with the Roman Catholic Church. And so that group is far cry from being anything close to what we would say orthodox in terms of biblical orthodoxy. But yet, John MacArthur is he will tell you that he is a strong believer in confessions and creeds and the historical. But the problem is he goes back, just like R.C. Sproul did. I never could understand this. Why does R.C. Sproul and MacArthur, and like Brother Carl Roberts was saying, a lot of the Reformed Baptists, they want to go back to Augustine. Augustine never came out of the Roman Catholic Church. At least Calvin and Luther came out of it. Augustine never came out of it. And so, you know, Augustine held a lot of sacramentalism. He held the infant baptism. He held to co-substantiation, a lot of areas that are the furthest thing from biblical teachings. And so when you look at the historical perspective of these people like R.C. Sproul and John MacArthur and Dr. D. James Kennedy and some of these Orthodox that say they're Reformed, they're not Reformed at all. And end up, at the end of his, even Charles Spurgeon, at the end of his tenure in the Metropolitan Chapel there in London, he actually invited D.L. Moody to speak in his church. D.L. Moody was an Arminian of Arminians. And a lot of people will say, D.L. Moody and William Carey were solid. No, they were not. They were free willers. William Carey was a staunch Arminian, okay? So I wanted to just throw that in. You have to go back to the foundation of where these people take their theology from. That's the problem. That's why, you know, a lot of people get bent out of shape when I say I'm not into synods and stations and creeds and confessions, because once you start making any extra biblical document a part and parcel of your faith, you're going to have problems because they're going to change those documents over time. Whether you're talking about the Westminster Confession, whether you're talking about the London Confession, the Philadelphia Confession. And so people will put those in place of the Bible. And
amen.
That's sort of my rant. Go ahead, guys.
Yeah, that's helpful. Thank you. By the way, it came to me. It was the 1982 Immigration Act. The 1986 Immigration Act. And what Ronald Reagan said was he gave amnesty to illegal aliens who entered before 1982, and he gave them a road to citizenship. He didn't make them citizens, so I overstated the thing. But he gave them amnesty. So amnesty is like a dirty word, but he did it. And by the way, by doing that, he actually gave a lot more power to the Roman Catholic Church, because about 70% of illegal aliens into the United States are Roman Catholic. The Roman Catholic Church knows that. And by the way, the dirty little secret is they give a lot of aid and comfort to illegal aliens, the Roman Catholic Church does. It is like a Roman Catholic underground. They assist them in their migration across the border, and it's like a criminal enterprise. The Roman Catholic Church is a criminal enterprise here in the United States. They engage in all sorts of criminality, not to mention pederasty. And it's organized pederasty, by the way. And but this ecumenism that you've mentioned with regard to Rick Warren and that John MacArthur seems to be winking at, I think that illustrates the very thing we talked about in other broadcasts, and that is this idea of a minister who now takes the position of a pastor in the church and then runs the show and takes charge. And then it's not difficult to then go down this road of error. And the structure of the churches gives rise to that. So this idea where you can control hundreds of people by controlling one man, that is not the body of Christ. The body of Christ is we are all members of Christ. We all bring our various gifts, okay? And we are all kings and priests. The idea that we are going to give up our kingship, okay, our priesthood to somebody else while we sit there like dumb lambs. No. Yeah. He made us kings and priests, and we should act the part. And we should be in accordance with that, you know.
Yeah. I want to, if you'll give me liberty, because I promised the sister I would address these questions. She just sent me 7 questions, and I think they're all excellent questions. She says, if John MacArthur were to do or say something that required correction, who would do this? You know? In other words, how
that
he held
a... That is such a good point. That is such a good point. He has now reached a position where he is sacrosanct.
Yeah.
There is nobody
yeah.
above him who can correct him. He runs Master's College. And he wields such power that, in fact, Todd Friel, that was one of the criticisms of Todd Friel, is that basically he has to defend John MacArthur. And some of these other people have to defend them. If they don't, then they're going to be on the outs. And I have to see there's financial strings as well.
Well, that was the next question. She says, if John MacArthur is accountable to elders or deacons, are these independent positions or are these paid positions? Are these individuals allowed to question or correct John MacArthur without risking excommunication? Good points all around. The other one, number 3, does longevity in the ministry equal being above reproach? And I can say for a fact, no, because I have I don't call myself a pastor. I do consider myself in ministry, but I can tell you that in the 11 years that I have been in ministry, I have not been above reproach. There's been many times when I failed and faltered and have had to repent. And there's been many times when people have pointed out my errors and I have had to repent over those things. And by the way, I'll say it publicly. If any one of you people, Mark or Carl or Ed, any of you see me getting off the track, I know if you love me, you will come and tell me about it, okay?
Amen.
So Number four, even if his intentions are good, if speaking at this conference causes offense to the brethren, wouldn't it be best to decline the invitation? Okay. And then also, she says, does not speaking at the same conference imply agreement? Does not speaking at the conference with an apostate like Rick Warren soften John MacArthur's image to the world and soften the Christian image of Rick Warren? Is this not mixing the profane with the holy?
Oh, I think so, yeah. I mean, can two walk together except they agree?
There it is. Yep. Yeah.
I think that was,
you know,
I think
not it's not a conference that they're attending where they're trying to learn some sort of broadcasting law or something like that. No, this is a conference that they're attending that addresses Christian issues, the Christian gospel.
Yeah, they even say they're promoting biblical truth.
Well, that, right.
This is not biblical truth. This is far from it. And the other question that comes to my mind, and this is a tough one. I don't know the answer. Maybe you guys can help me out on this. We all have our lines that we draw in the sand, so to speak. Where we say, that's my line. I will not cross over that line. And everybody's line is different depending on their own interpretation of the scripture and as the Holy Spirit and their conscience has revealed it to them. And not everybody's going to agree where that line is. And so my question is, when we are not, you know, as long, the way I've always perceived it, if it's eschatology, now I know that John MacArthur's really got into, he's a premillennialist, he's a dispensationalist. I have changed my position on fellowshipping with people who are Zionist or dispensationalist. I, at one time, eschatology was not a, really the line drawing, but I have changed that because the prominence of Zionism in our society and this whole issue. But that when you're considered to be causing dissension among brethren, if you bring up eschatological issues, if you bring up issues of faith, like, for an example, I had a minister tell me one time that he refused to talk about what he called double predestination, okay? What he meant when he used that term double predestination, he didn't mind talking about vessels of honor, but he didn't want to talk about vessels of wrath fitted for destruction. He didn't want to talk about reprobation. And so he said, that's where I draw my line. If you're going to get into double predestination, we can't fellowship. What are your all's thoughts about this? In other words, where do we draw the line and where are we? Now, there are people out there that come amongst us purposely to cause dissension amongst us. I mean, Paul says that that there would be wolves that would come in amongst us and divide the flock and so on. So what are your thoughts on that, Brother Ed?
Well, let me just tell you. That is a hoot, that double predestination, because understand this, the devil is so clever, and it is so devilish to give a term that sounds like a plague, okay? I mean, it sounds like a terrible disease, double predestination. I want no part of that, okay? Well, I mean, so right away, he gives it a label that you want to just step back and say, no, I'm not a double predestinarian, okay? Of course not. Well, think about it. That's God's plan, okay? And so God predestines everything, though both those for destruction and those fitted for glory. So it basically, it's just like he has to have a label, okay? Satan has to have a label. And if we fall into the trap of agreeing with those labels, then we have a problem. Because I was just listening the other day to, I can't remember what it was, but they were talking about Calvinism, okay? And then they were criticizing John Calvin for infant baptism. Well, the thing is, that's what they do. They attribute a biblical doctrine to a man, and then they can tear down the man and tear down the doctrine, okay?
Yes,
and so don't fall for that trap. Don't agree, yeah, I'm a Calvinist. No, you're not. If you believe in the sovereign grace of God, okay, you're not following a man. And by the way, Calvin was only a 4-point Calvinist. He was not a 5-point Calvinist. So even then, they picked the wrong man.
Right. Calvin didn't even know what Tulip was. Tulip didn't even come along until long after John Calvin had passed away.
Yeah, that's right.
Dr. Bob Morey said they weren't called Calvinists in Calvin's time. They were called, you understand.
Yeah, the double predestination, the other term that you will hear people use for that is equal ultimacy. And Brother Ed is so right. It won't seem that you just hear that and it's like, I don't want no part of it.
Say that again, Brother Carl. Say that again, Brother Carl. What do they call that?
Equal ultimacy, the doctrine of equal ultimacy, that God exerts as much effort in damning the reprobate as he exerts in calling the ones given to Christ to be regenerated by his Spirit.
Ah, interesting. Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir. But, yeah, I mean, basically what we're talking about here, guys, is wolves in sheep's clothing. You know, and these are the, you know, and like we've talked about before, these are the true wolves. Because these people preach repentance.
Yep.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? They look just like the sheep, right? And we're warned in Matthew 24, verse 4 and 5. And Jesus answered, in the King James Version only, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. These people don't come along saying they're Christ. They come along saying that Christ is Christ. And they preach repentance and have deceived many. John MacArthur, Paul Washer, and just real quickly, I used to really like Paul Washer until about 2 years ago, and I heard him tell his story in this sermon. And the story he told was, it was about a prayer that he prayed to God once. And he said, the most dangerous prayer that you could that a believer can pray to God is, God, make me more like Jesus Christ, because it's practically a death sentence. You're bringing down a death sentence on yourself whenever you pray this. And I thought to myself, what utter blasphemy. I mean, he was bruised for our transgressions and wounded for our iniquities. And because God poured out his wrath upon his Son, anger is not in him anymore. And for a man to preach that we can do anything, whether it is progressive sanctification or rewards, or Paul Washer basically alluding to the fact that God has to put you on your deathbed to bring you to Christ or to make you more Christ-like, that's utter heresy and blasphemy.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And the Apostle Paul in Acts 20, verse 29, he says, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. So Paul knew what was going to happen after he left.
Yeah, and the other issue is, another person that's involved very closely with John MacArthur is Piper. And Piper has been all over the place. I mean, and by the way, a lot of people don't know it, but Piper would not have even gone to theological seminary had not John MacArthur funded him. John MacArthur paid Piper's way through seminary. Okay?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
How did you know that?
Well, it's pretty well known, you know, I mean, after all these years. And Piper's even admitted that John MacArthur was one of his main mentors and one of his main supporters. So Piper is even.
So wait a minute. So why did he do that other than out of charity? What was the reason? What do you think? What's going on here?
Well, at the outset, I mean, again, MacArthur had a big influence over Piper's original theology. Over time, Piper has totally changed his theology, and now he is in direct fellowship with all kind of charismatics. He has women on the stage with him teaching and all kind of things. And so it kind of makes John MacArthur kind of left egg on his face, and he doesn't want to, you know, he doesn't want to speak out against Piper since he funded him. So, you know, it goes back to follow the money trail. And Piper, you know, just acts like nothing's changed. He's just the same. He's just the same kind of relationship with John MacArthur that he's ever had. And maybe that's the case. Maybe John MacArthur just hasn't come clean. That sounds like he's starting to come clean of his alliances with some of these other groups now.
The fact that he would. When I heard John MacArthur say that you could take the mark of the beast and be okay, I had to replay that and listen to that several times. I could not believe what I heard. So it's no surprise that he has aligned himself with the likes of Rick Warren. And, you know, and in doing so, I mean, he has showed his true colors.
Well, just think about it, though. His theology requires that a person be allowed to take the mark of the beast. Dispensational view of pre-tribulation rapture absolutely requires that, because otherwise there would be nobody who could go to heaven.
Right.
And he makes that point. So he's sort of painted himself into a corner on that one.
It's just so crazy how he just twists scripture. I mean, we're told that the ones that are took are the reprobate. The ones that are took are not taken away in some secret rapture. They are taken away by the wrath of God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unbelievable.
I've heard a number of Reformed Baptists will give you this kind of spin on that thing. They'll say, if you believe that you're chosen in Christ from the foundation of the world, there's nothing that you can do to separate yourself from the love of God. Okay, that sounds like George Bush. And after 9/11, George Bush Jr., 9/11, I don't know if you realize this, but he quoted that scripture, nothing can separate us from the love of God. What blasphemy. In other words, part of our election is embracing the Word of God, not turning our back. And you know, that's the other issue. A lot of people say, well, Larry, really into works? No, I'm not into works as it relates to our eternal salvation. But our eternal salvation brings us to a point of obedience to God and His Word.
There you go.
God's the one that brings us to that. God is the one that's going to work in my heart such that I will say, no, I will not take the mark of the beast. I have been commanded not to take the mark of the beast, so therefore
Amen.
I will not. It's not Larry Phillips. It's the Spirit working in Larry Phillips. But see, now, these people now that are into this Together in the Gospel group, they're called Together in the Gospel. If you ask them, you know, can you take the mark of the beast? They'll say, nothing can separate me from the love of God. It doesn't matter what. In other words, it's really antinomian. I mean, there are true antinomians. I know we get labeled as antinomians, but the new grace people out there, the sloppy grace people, they think they can fornicate their brains out and do anything, and nothing's going to separate them from the love of God.
Wow. It's hedonism. I mean, just, you know, and who thinks like that except the unregenerate sinner? A believer does not think like that.
Right.
No, you don't think like that. Our nature is so radically changed because we've been made partakers of the divine nature. You know, you know, I tell you, brothers, you know, like we read here in Matthew 24, verse 4, take heed, let that no man deceive you. We best take heed, you know.
Amen.
You know, and we have these ministers who run around. I think Robbie Zachariah was actually in the Mormon. He actually fellowshiped with Mormons.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
You know, and I listened to him on the radio, and I thought he sounded pretty good. And then I come to find out he's fellowshiping with Mormons. I go, my, how does that happen?
I know. I used to like him too, you know, until several years ago, and then I heard him. Then I heard him, you know, by his own, you know, wit and savvy try to take on predestination and declare how man was free and had a free will. And that was the last time I listened to anything he had to say. I think he's an absolute joke.
Oh, my.
See, that's the problem with these people. They're so puffed up. They get in these positions and nobody's there to tell them they're wrong.
Yeah.
Right. Right, and it's like these people, right, it's like, and these people like, you know, like John MacArthur, these people are the modern day Pharisees, you know, and Christ said, I didn't come to call the righteous to repentance. Well, we know that there's none that are righteous, no, not one, right?
There's a video out of a guy in MacArthur's church who gets up and admonishes MacArthur, and they kick him out.
Yes, and he says that
drags him out.
Right, and he says, and he claims to be a prophet, I believe, and he tells John MacArthur, "Your doctrine of cessation is an error," is what he tells him. "You have grieved the Holy Spirit, John MacArthur. He is grieved, and I've been sent to warn you. You say prophecy is dead, but I'm a prophet." That's right. And then they come sort of wheel him out of there. To me, if that sort of sounds sort of set up, it's like the guy has a microphone on or something. I've listened to it probably 100 times.
Mm.
Wow. Hey, we have a brother from the UK, and he is sharing here. He said that where he lives in the United Kingdom, most of the churches over there are Fullerites, meaning, and when he says Fullerites, I know what he's talking about. Fullerites are conditionalists. In other words, they mix law and grace. They say, well, it's all of grace, but our obedience, you know, our continued grace is contingent upon our obedience. That's Fullerism. That's Carryism. That's Arminianism, really.
Amen.
And, you know, I have another issue that comes up a lot, and this would also come up with Rick Warren, because Rick Warren teaches that man determines his own destiny by his own choices and his own goals and his own right and his own right decision making. He believes that a person can pick themselves up by their bootstrap. He is teaching the doctrine that man can become anything they want to be. If they want to be a devil, they will be a devil. If they want
That's
to be
Luciferianism. That's Luciferianism right there.
It's right out of Talmud. Yeah. That's what he's teaching. Well, I had a primitive. Now, listen to this. When you talk about providence, okay, this is really interesting. Now, I know a lot of people disagree with Beebe. Beebe was an old hard-shell strict Baptist. And Beebe did a treatise called The Absolute Predestination of All Things. Well, he's right on. I mean, that is pure, unadulterated Bible. By him, all things consist. Okay? He works all things after the counsel of his own will. Well, I was going over some of these writings with this Primitive Baptist minister, and he said, "You've got it all wrong." He said, "We believe the Primitive Baptist." Now, these are the conditional. There's two kinds of Primitive Baptists. There's a strict Primitive Baptist, and there's a conditionalist. He was a conditionalist. He said, "We believe that God predestinates the who, but not the what." Okay, think about this. In other words, the life of Joseph, the providential hand of Joseph, was not ordained by God. Just Joseph's election was ordained by God. It's ridiculous.
Wow.
All things are ordained. God. All things are ordained by God. This, every word that is spoken on this broadcast tonight was preordained by God.
Right. Amen. If one single thing happens in God's creation that was not ordained of him, he's not God.
That's right. Well, Brother Ed, I guess I got a question. What do you think about this line drawing business and this compromise? I know we each have a different thought about it, but where do we? I have had some people, you know, rightfully, you know, they'll go to my website and they'll see who I subscribe to. They'll go, that's a poor witness that you're subscribed to Blackstone Intelligence. He's a Mormon. Well, the reason I listen to Jake, Mark, whatever his name is because Jake is a student of history. I like he is a very knowledgeable in a lot of geopolitical areas, but he's dead wrong theologically. So am I wrong in listening to other ideas that, in other words, Another issue is like some of these other people, like I've been sharing with you guys. They have some real insight into what's going on in history as it relates to Zionism, just like Richie from Boston. I mean, the guy, but he's a rank Arminian. He absolutely denies election and predestination. And, you know, I believe that God can use us to share the gospel with these folks. But where do you guys stand on who you subscribe to, on YouTube? How do you feel about
that? That's a good question. Okay. All right. That's really good. See, understand this. To subscribe on YouTube is not being yoked with somebody, first of all.
Right.
Okay. So,
right.
You know, that you have to understand first thing.
Right.
And by the way, I also subscribe to Jake Morfonius. Okay. And but I didn't know he was a Mormon. It's the first I heard. But that would change my mind.
He's very outspoken about it. And, you know, the guy is very, very intelligent and very articulate, I must say.
Uh-huh. Yeah. See, what the thing is, we're not supposed to take ourselves out of the world. It's just that we're not supposed to be of the world. So,
right.
I mean... What I mean, at what point, as far as drawing the line, see, as long as you're not, you know, of the world, that's fine. So, you know,
that's an example.
You can't take yourself out of the world. Okay.
Right. Right. Now, let me ask you this, and I'll throw this out to everybody. We're doing a podcast tonight, and the reason I'm asking this question, you know, because this has come up before on numerous occasions. This group, you know, Brother Carl, Brother Mark, Sister Louise is with us. Linda Freeman's with us. We've got other brothers and sisters that have joined us on Facebook. Now, there's a lot of people that would say that does not constitute the church. Now, we're talking about biblical issues. We're teaching from a biblical perspective tonight. Now, my question is, are we fellowship? Does this constitute the bride of Christ? Does this constitute the church?
Oh, yeah. So. Why wouldn't it?
Well, the reason that I ask, okay, is because two reasons. You know, obviously, I happen to be the moderator in this format. I don't necessarily like being the moderator all the time. I wish someone else would step in once in a while and control the thing. But anyway, and I don't like my face plastered all over the world either. But, you know, and I guess I could put up a picture where people could just see a picture rather than my ugly face. But the reason I'm bringing this up is that there's like today, right now, we've got some other people on TalkShoe. Okay, I'm not going to mention any names, but we've got some other people that have joined us. And let's just say that they started waving at me and wanted to come into the conversation. Okay, now, we're having church, we're teaching, just like it happened last week. I'm really glad that Brother Carl brought this up. A guy came on and he started spewing out some stuff, and I didn't want to highly offend him. I didn't want to, you know, in front of the whole world. I mean, we're all over YouTube, we're all over Facebook, we're all over Sermon Audio, and I'm on 5 other platforms now, by the way, while we're doing this. So it's not just YouTube, it's 5 other platforms that I'm simultaneously broadcasting. What should be our response to people? Do we just keep them out of the room? We don't let them talk if we don't know where they stand from a faith standpoint. What are your thoughts on that?
Okay, well,
no. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. You can go ahead. I apologize.
Well, I mean, to just take that episode last week. You know, I think that's a good illustration of how the church should respond. I caught wind of what I viewed was something that was a little off, okay? But I understood that the person simply did not have a very good understanding of the gospel. Now, I there are a lot of people that, you know, that don't really understand what the gospel is and so forth, and that's fine. So I just clarified. And then Carl jumped in and clarified it even further. But you see, nobody was left with any mystery as to what the gospel is or what we stood for. And so the correction was immediate. But by the way, can you imagine if we were in church and a minister would, or the pastor would make a comment like that? Nobody would say anything to clarify it. You see what I'm saying? And so
right. That's
the way it should be done. So if I
Great
say
point.
Something wrong, or if Larry or Carl or any of us say anything wrong, we're each there to correct it and jump on it, okay? And our guide is God's word. So, yes, it's fail-safe. God's model for the church is fail-safe. There cannot be error, you see.
Right.
Not that's promoted, okay? Now, if you exchange God's model for the church with the Greek model, and you turn control over to a pastor, well, guess what? You're going to have all kinds of error.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, to answer Brother Larry's question from a few moments ago about where do we draw the line, I just want to read here out of Galatians chapter 1, verses 4 through 12 in Authorized King James Version only. And what the Holy Spirit tells us here is, I'll start in verse 3, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. For though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Or do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? Or if I yet please the men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, this is where the line must be drawn. Anybody that's preaching another gospel, and the gospel of Jesus Christ is the entire Word of God, from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, until the last verse of the book of Revelation, that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if anybody does add to that, or take away from it, or take away from it, whether it is the gospel of God's free grace, or the gospel of biblical cosmology, for me, that's where I draw the line. And I don't subscribe to their YouTube pages. I don't associate with them. I don't embrace them in fellowship.
Well, I think you make a good point. By the way, we have had another person join us on TalkShoe, and your area code is 805. I don't know who you are, but I have unmuted your mic. Do you want to I see you're waving at me. Go ahead and speak. Go ahead, 805. Okay, maybe he doesn't want
to.
What's there? Who is it?
This is Rick.
Hi, Rick. How are you doing?
Good. I can't. This is like a kid in a candy shop topic tonight.
Well, go
I'm
ahead,
telling you.
Go ahead and weigh in on this, Rick, because.
Okay, yeah, well. See,
you have a pretty balanced perspective.
Right, well, my wife has a gift of evangelism, right?
Right.
And so, right now, she's going to the Mormon Church, all right?
Yeah.
And not for the purpose of fellowship, all right? Because see, whenever she starts talking the Word of God, all right. Now I'll let you guys judge this, all right? Because I need this. I need you guys' judgment on this. They can't get enough of. They've never heard anybody like that speaking the Word of God to them like she's doing. Okay. And she's a professional lyrica soprano, and she has a music composition major, all right? So she wants to sing in the choir for the purpose of, because she loves singing, and not because of the theological heresy. I mean, and the witchcraft of Joseph Smith and so forth, because I told her I was at the visitor center with my dad as a teenager, and it was like a trip down religious wonderland. And that's all I have to say as far as election, providence, and predestination in this program tonight. All right.
Hey, Rick, I'd like to respond because
yes.
It's really interesting. A number of years ago, probably about 5 or 6 years ago, my wife also accomplished musician, and she was in multiple choirs throughout college and so on. And we lived in Independence, Kansas. By the way, Independence, Missouri, and of course that's where the headquarters of the RLDS, Reorganized Latter-day Saints, now they call themselves the Community of Christ, headquarters were. Well,
okay.
She, because she was an accomplished altoist, they asked her to sing in the choir. They
absolutely sang, because she's right with you with the harmony. God bless her.
Well, anyway, she liked to sing. They sang the Messiah every year. Okay,
yeah,
Messiah.
Right.
Well, you know, now a lot of things happen. One of the things, we would go and take other people with us when she was singing in the. You know, we would get free tickets and we would take people with us. Mark would go with, and she would sing in this 400 voice choir.
Yeah.
And, it began to get really worse and worse. They started requiring, the members to do different things that Rosette started having difficulties. And then finally they replaced the director of their choir with a full blown homosexual. Very well.
Okay.
This guy was totally homosexual. So Rosette says, I will not sing in that choir again. I will not put myself under the direction of a homosexual. Now,
right.
I can share that with you, but my thought.
Yeah, because you recognize what a $3 bill is.
Right. But
that's what my wife calls them, $3 bill. Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I think, Rick, you know me enough that I'm not going to personally attack you because you're a gracious friend, and I have no reason to have an ad hominem attack on Rick McHugh. I mean, Rick Batard tonight. But one of the things that hits me right off, and you asked for this, so you asked for it.
That's right.
But,
let the righteous smite me. It'll be a kindness to me.
But in reality, you know, it's not your wife's role to go in and to teach people that are in a false doctrine. That's my, it's just not her role to do that. I mean, now if I'm wrong, you guys correct me, but I think that's, and if we're, you know, what's your guys' take on this?
Right.
Let me just go through this real quick, okay? Jesus, first of all, in John chapter 2 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Okay, so if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not with him. Okay, so, and then we have him praying, you know, I pray not that they should take them, that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. So we're not to come out of the world, all right? He prays that we be protected from the evil, but not that we be taken out of the world. And then in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 11 through 13, it says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Okay?
Reprove.
So have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. So you have to ask yourself, is that fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness? Or the shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret? Okay? So let's look at that. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, be not ye unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Now, you're dealing with a choir. Aren't you actually singing together? Isn't that really fellowship? Isn't that fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness? I really question whether that's a very good idea.
Yeah.
I think it's a bad idea. And by the way, why would she do that if she knows that what they're doing, she's taking part in something that is, she knows is error, when in fact she should be reproving them. So when she goes in, does she tell everybody that they're wrong? Does she do that? How long would she last in the choir if she did that? Because I don't think she's doing that.
Right.
That's what she's supposed to do. That's what the command is from Ephesians chapter 5.
Now, okay. So all that and said, in all of our agreement with the topic tonight of fellowshipping with or where do we draw the line in talking to heretics? Now, if my wife is an heretic, okay, because she was deeply in the Word of Faith, okay, and I had a friend at one time that says that like the progression of that goes downward at Romans 1, it said that like Word of Faith goes into the manifest sons of God. That's going one notch down. That's a step down. And the manifest sons of God goes into Mormonism, and Mormonism goes down to the feet of Lucifer.
Mm.
So I just wanted to throw that out, because this topic is just, I mean, it's just like one step in front of the other, you know. And so I just wanted to throw this out, and this is where I am in relationship with my wife. Okay, and so I just had needed to jump in the pool all the way and with you guys. And
yeah, I've got a question for everybody. Just because this thing about we're of the we're in the world but we're not of the world. Okay, now it's true that we're in the world. We know that. On the face of the earth, okay, but it does, it says, come out from the world and be ye separate, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing. Now, does that apply to every activity in our life, touch not the unclean thing? for an example, what about sports? Okay. You go into, and I don't care if you're talking about college sports, NFL, AFL, whatever. I don't know anything about sports, but let's just say that you have someone that's involved in your family in sports in a college, and you go into a stadium where there's alcohol is free flowing, people are cursing and swearing and blaspheming God's name, and all kind of activities are going on with the cheerleaders. I mean, we won't even get into the Super Bowl and the halftime. We'll just talk about college sports.
Right.
Is that separating yourself from the world, or is that becoming a part of the world and participating in the world?
That is becoming a part of the world, and it is actually worship. All right?
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's just like basically, and I know people think it's crazy. All right. Even if something as simple as dancing along to a piece of music can be, if you're not careful, worship. All right? And to see these things and to perceive these things,
now what happens when you get into this conversation, people say, well, that whole fellowship was, they were into legalism, you know, they were into works, you know.
We're told if you love the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in you.
Right, that's exactly right. And for an example, I had a pastor, I'm not going to mention any names, he was in a Sovereign Grace pastorate, and he bragged about how he took all of his kids to Star Wars, and he let them read C.S. Lewis, and he enjoyed, J.I. Tolkien's work and all this stuff. He was allowing his children to be mind-controlled. He was mind-controlled.
Yeah.
And so a guy used to tell me all the time, the problem is you're too heavenly-minded, you're no earthly good, Phillips. That's your problem. But, you know, where do you, again, I think this is a great program tonight. It's 7:03. We've gone over time, and you know I'm not one to like to do that. I want to thank Rick for coming and opening up, and we'll keep you in our prayers, because it's not easy when you're dealing with spouses that are have a different perspective than you do. I know firsthand because I lived in a household that was divided totally. My dad never would attend an organized church. And my mother never would ever forgive him for not doing that. But yet he saw it as participating in the world, in false religion. So anyway, I'm going to just open it up. Does anyone have any final comments before we, I want to thank everybody on Facebook and everyone on YouTube, and what a fantastic topic tonight.
Amen.
Any final comments tonight, Ed?
Yeah, I think this is a great discussion, very deep, this last point. I mean, this is a really hard thing because it is where the rubber meets the road, because we are in the world. We're not to be of the world. And, again, I would repeat what 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 says. Is, look, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And
Amen.
So while we're in the world, we can't control what other people do in the world. We can control what we do. We can control what we do. And to the extent we control what we do, then we should act accordingly. So I think that's really a good way to draw the line. You can control what you do, okay,
yes.
with regard to what you see around you. You don't join in the sin, basically, okay? And I think that's probably a good rule to follow. I don't know. I mean, this is hard. This is really hard. This is not an easy issue because we all cross paths with all sorts of people every day
yep.
Who, you know, say things, do things that we don't agree with. So that's life.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mark. Any final comments?
That's right. I agree totally with what Brother Ed says. And, you know, that's right. Because especially here in this town where I live, there's lots of wicked people out there on the streets. And sometimes they come up to you and they try to get a reaction out of you. You know, oh, let me see if I can push this guy's buttons, get him to say something so I can knock his teeth down his throat or something. So sometimes the best response is to say nothing. There's a proverb about that. A prudent man keeps knowledge to himself or something along those lines, somewhere in Proverbs. But that's right. We can't control what other people do. We can only monitor and check our own actions and reactions.
Very good. Well, Brother Carl, do you have any final comments?
It was really good to be with you, Brother.
Thank you.
I just close with a question, Mark Luther. Peace is possible and truth at all costs, and God bless everybody. I love you, man.
Thank you.
Love you, brother.
Thank you.
Hi, man.
Yeah, brother Rick, do you have any final comments?
God said that he's jealous over us with a godly jealousy, that like the serpent deceived Eve, that she might receive another spirit, another Jesus, another gospel. And so my prayer is that God would visit her, would be over her with a godly jealousy, because love, you can't have love without being jealous over the one that you set your affection upon. So that's all I have.
Very good.
Amen.
Very good. Well, thank you all. I'm going to bring this to a conclusion, and we'll plan on seeing you. Now, we have a program Wednesday night. We're ready for chapter 28 in the book, and Brother Carl and Brother Mark are going to join us. Then we have our two services. And by the way, we're not, you know, I have struggled. I'll just be open. I don't believe, in other words, you can worship God on any day of the week you want to worship God. I'll just put it that way. In fact, we should be worshiping God in spirit and in truth all the time. We just happen to do it Sunday morning and Sunday night. I don't put any credence on one day over the other, but I'll probably get in trouble with that one. Okay, so that's about all I have. And so I'm going to conclude. You all have a good evening, and thanks for all of your input. We appreciate it. And good night.
Good night.